With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to part three, the finale of the Guitar Nerds Bronkoff. As with the previous episode, we recorded this all in one full swoop, so I'm going to drop you right back into the conversation where we left off at the end of part two. Well, to move it on slightly onto something maybe a little bit more fun, the real, well, a little bit more exciting, the thing that I cared about, is what I mean, is refinishes. Now, finishing the guitar, this was always going to be something that we were going to take great advantage of and try and make as fun and as weird and unusual as possible, and also kind of stray outside of the finishes that are normally available at this price point. You know, Fender have done a wonderful job over recent years of expanding their color range in their budget stuff. Certainly at Squire Fender, we're seeing, you know, I remember when I started at GAC, you know, in like whenever it was, like 2010, and it was Fenders, even US ones, were available in black, sunburst, red, and white. You know, that was
Lake Placid blue. That was the exotic one.
I remember when I remember when Fender Mexico released a new blue, and it was kind of a weird, I can't remember what they called it. It was like Arctic blue or something. Do you remember that? It was like a pearly blue. It wasn't quite Lake Placid, but they released all the Mexicans here, and everyone was like, oh my goodness, you can get a different color. It wasn't a good color, but everyone bought them. They were everywhere because it was a Fender, not in those standard colors. I really want to know what that color was called, but I can't remember.
I mean, we could look it up, but it ruins the flow of the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. But yes, anyway, so whilst Fender have done a great job of improving the color range, and loads of brands, especially companies like Reverend, I think are doing a wonderful job of introducing interesting colors at a great price point, we really took advantage of being able to turn something like a Bronco into something sort of a wildly different color. So we went to specialistspaint.com. I mean, they didn't sponsor the podcast or anything, but they're a really good website, you know, for actually finding cool and interesting paints. I think all three of us had very, very different ideas of what we wanted it to be. I think to summarize everyone's thing, I think JD went for like a, you had an overall idea of what you wanted the bass to be.
Yeah.
So the finish wasn't the thing that should stand out for your instrument. It was part of an overall theme you were going for. Naomi, you were going for the most flamboyant thing you could find.
The most extra.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was going for, and mine didn't quite turn out how I originally intended, but I was going for vintage colors that I like.
Yeah.
Mine had to be, I was never going to get something weird because I was like, no, it has to be a color that Fender actually do. And it has to be something from their, from the, you know what, dear listener, we know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Burgundy Mist. I was always going to go there. Now, I couldn't quite get exactly what I wanted from custom paints. Like, I got the closest thing I could to a sort of a mauve, a lavender, a periwinkle, you know, that sort of, that color area. It didn't quite come out maybe as muted, as subtle as I wanted.
Yeah, perhaps a little more lavender,
Yeah, I wanted it to be maybe more metallic-y. Yeah, just not quite as, it's come out very, I don't know, it's bright. It's a bright
It's a bold base.
It's a bold colour. So it's not quite as vintage as I wanted, but nonetheless, I think a great colour. And I've coupled
it's very cool. I'm a fan of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, we're all massive fans of each other's, I think. Like, it's been great. Like, this whole day has been like, oh, I really, like, it just different stages, I think we've all said about each other's base 12 different things about like, oh, I just really
actually,
like that.
That's yeah. awesome. Yeah. 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 Unfortunately, Bass Guitar Nerds continues to be the more wholesome of the Guitar Nerds portfolio.
As much,
yeah. yeah. I mean, we, you know, knock on wood, now that we're here in person, we've still not argued. It's still go, be good. Yeah. yeah. It's been a very supportive, very supportive project to one another.
But yeah, so I've gone for Burgundy Mist. I was always going to go for that color. And unlike you two, you've kept the Bronco pit guard
yes.
shape, whereas mm-hmm. I've gone for the Music Master shape, which is much more, I don't know, circular. It sort of, it doesn't yeah, follow yeah. the lines of the bass in the same way.
It yeah, doesn't, I it think, doesn't follow the lower horn no, at all. It yeah. curves off back towards the sort of the controls.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. I think it's like a complementary shape to right. it, as opposed to like a scratch plate that is just a mirror. The, yeah.
yeah.
Like it's yeah. really interesting. And it also sort of like feels that vintagey vibe of just like, you know, like the amorphous shapes.
Yeah. Sure. Or something, I think it's yeah. more functional also. It's actually following more the potential range of your right hand with a pick.
One of the reasons
I just have economy of motion. My hands are all over the bass.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons
some of us just have good technique.
One of the reasons it bubbles out is because there was a tug bar or a thumb rest that would go there on the original yes. Music Masters. Mm-hmm. Now I haven't fitted one of mine because I find they do get in the way a little bit. But yeah, that's why it comes out a little bit. Whereas yours. On the Bronco, much like the Precision Bass, it moves the other way. It goes in
yeah.
around where yeah. you would put a thumb rest, so yeah. that there's not especially the room for it. But that's what I've gone for. I've got this lovely, very lavender Burgundy Mist, coupled with a Tort Guard in that Music Man cut.
It's a really good Tort too.
Yeah,
like that's you know, it's like not all Torts are the same, and that's a really good piece of Tort.
Yeah, yeah. I realized I didn't talk about my controls or anything, the volume and tone, but I went for Cupcake knobs. Cream,
oh yeah,
Cupcake.
So nice.
Inspired Delicious. By the Harmony Cupcake.
Oh, knobs, I'm, you know, yeah.
Which are very good looking. I couldn't find anything as big as that, but James's Homotone again coming to the rescue with some excellent accessories. They recommend those Cupcake knobs as a Bronco upgrade because they do look very good
yeah,
on the Bronco.
They do, yeah. I think the Cupcake knobs are a really nice alternative to the domes that come as standard yeah. as well. You retain that nice functionality if you don't want things to go too far out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They still feel sort of great and functional to use. I actually put the black Cupcakes on my Music Master, on my Fender Music Master.
Oh, yeah, sure.
For me, it's a bit more of a serious instrument. I'd actually play this one. This one was fun.
The Music Master is black on black, if I remember
black,
correctly.
Yeah, black guard. I had the guard cut from Fidelity, and they did yes. a lovely job because they also nice. Like aged it, or sort of, you know, just a... It doesn't have that sheen on it.
It's
lovely. It looks
like
worn
it's buffed
in.
Or something.
Yeah, exactly. Which suits the Music Master because the finish is so smashed up. You know, smashed up.
Black. Yeah, I really like your the finish on your Music Master has a lot of character to it.
Yeah,
I really
agreed.
Do. It looks like at some point someone filled in all the chips with teeth. Like nail polish.
With the wrong thing. Yeah, yeah.
But it's which is then dripped. So there are all these drips in the finish.
Yeah.
But it just looks, it's so much character, so cool. And then you've still got the lacquer checking on the rest of it from where there's actual lacquer.
Yeah.
And then you've got these weird sort of melted drips. It's just very cool. That Music Master is very vibey, very cool.
Indeed.
I mean, I just pausing, so we're still talking about knobs, like I think that's the thing that like just from a tactile point of view, like most basses can be improved with like better knobs, you know, right. like certainly any budget bass you get out there, like it's the thing that every time I go into a shop and I play a bass that's like £1,000 or something like that, and you're like, but why are these knobs, you know, like so cheap?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
just put good knobs on something, you know, like it's such
you
a
know
huge
the thing,
thing
that I think is weird it on that is it's also a case of like what knobs are right for what instrument.
Yeah.
For the longest time, Squire would put the sort of metal domed like P bass style knobs on jazz basses.
Yeah.
On the budget jazz bass. And it was almost for me in my head, that was how I could see a cheap jazz bass.
Yes.
Yeah.
If
yeah,
it had
yeah.
metal knobs instead of the black plastic knobs. There's no way those black plastic knobs cost more
no,
than the metal
no.
ones. Yeah. But if you see a jazz bass with metal knobs instead of the proper black jazz bass ones, you're like, that looks cheap and wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, it's like even, you know, even when we're when we were up in Denmark Street and we're playing like different basses, it's like this, it just feels like a cheap knob. Like what, mm-hmm. you know, and even if it's a, you know, once you start getting like above 500 pounds, it starts being like, you can spend five more on the knobs. And it's such yeah. a completely different like user experience.
Yeah.
That it's just,
yeah.
like, just do that. You know, like it's just think about the person who's buying this, not just trying to.
Absolutely. I mean, I think knobs are as they're every bit as tactile as the strings.
Yeah.
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 You know, it is important and to me always it's a huge bonus if that as an appointment is thought through when I'm looking at a new model base.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about those three things, I guess, together for each of us. So I've gone again, you know, the Burgundy Mist, Tort, Music Master Style Guard, Cream Cupcake Knobs, and that's all being partnered with that lovely oversized Jazzmaster Jazz Bass single coil bang in the middle of the body. As I said, JD, yours was much more, it was part of a thing. You were going for that, like you said, that sort of Soviet era function.
My initial inspiration was like, I love like all old like recording equipment and like old radio equipment that you see from like World War II, like that. Well, very
some of the amps you have here in this house. Yeah. We didn't say it at the start, but we're recording at JD's house in London.
Yeah, and yeah, so like I have like my old Silvertone, you know, like
it looks like a TV.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's so. I mean, it was the first amp I ever had. It was my actual grandparents' amp that they bought from Sears, in like the early mid '60s, and then the Fenton Wild we've spoken about before. But it's, I love all that kind of stuff, and I was trying to think of something that would fit with that, and so I went with a semi matte. I'll say like gray, and it was
supposed to be set. It has not come out 100% set.
Yeah, but I dig it now because it's not completely matte, but it's also not gloss by any means.
Yeah,
sure.
And I really like it. It's like it's a really deep gray. I can't remember which one. It's like a Chrysler or Volkswagen.
Was it not just called Battleship Gray? Was
it? It might be. I think it's an actual like. Car model gray that we got. Okay. I think it's the official. Because I think I wanted. We almost went with like the Jaguar gray, or no, it was Aston Martin gray, and then realized that like that paint itself was like 165 quid for like a pint, and we were like, no, maybe we'll just go with a slightly different gray.
Yeah.
I think it was a Chevrolet.
On custom paints. Yeah, they split up all the cars by. It was. I remember
it's,
you doing
it's,
this.
It's yeah, an actual. Right, yeah. So it's
gunmetal is gun, what it was called.
Yeah, gun, yeah. Chevrolet. The Chevrolet gunmetal gray gun is the actual. If you want to paint match it, the actual color. I went with an actual matte black scratch plate.
And it's only £15 for a 500ml bottle.
Yeah, yeah. Much better than the Aston one, which was, I mean, would have been fancy, but seems a bit much, really. Doesn't affect the tone. I don't know. I'm sure JHS will do a podcast about that. But like, it's, so I went with that black, again, the G-tone pickup is such a vibe. So it's like, it's the gold foil, bright orange bar in chrome. The knobs I ended up going with the bass are API style. So API, like the consoles that you would see in like a lot of recording studios and sort of the outboard gear. But
huge.
So, yeah. So they're huge. Yeah. They have a very like pronounced, sort of like they're circles, but they also have like basically like they're circles like a bar running through them,
like a pointing ridge.
Yeah, so you can really feel it. But they also have like this like clear plastic like skirting around it, like you would get on a console and everything. So it made it feel so old and classy in a way that. And I bought loads of different like Neve style knobs and everything. And some like old Bakelite knobs, like. Because I was inspired by like old military radios and stuff, I thought about those, but they just didn't fit. And like these API style knobs really did it.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, they are super cool. So yeah, so the gunman, and of course it matches up with the bridge as well.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing I should probably mention, because I think I was the only one who did this, is I had a custom strap made. I was tying all of the aesthetic together. So I found some fabric I wanted to do, because I wanted to tie the gray, the black, the orange, like all of that kind of together. And I found a strap maker here in the UK that made vegan straps, and they've now relocated to the USA. So interesting. We just swapped
what
places.
Company?
It's Coco Guitar Straps.
Oh, yes, yeah. They have. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're great.
Got in touch with them and was like, hey, here's the kind of thing I'm thinking. I found some like Orla Kiley, like curtains, like fabric that I wanted, and we ended up like getting some of that and just like trying a few different options for what the strap would be. And
amazing.
Yeah. And so like, I think it's one of those things that like the whole thing comes together really well.
Yeah, that's it. It's a really complete aesthetic, but yeah, the strap is lovely. The fact that it's got the gray, you know, the
bit of the orange pop. Orange. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very good. The whole thing is a very finished piece.
Yeah. And when it came, it had an orange, sort of Perloid pick with it as well. But just really, really like orange and black Perloid picks. That
yeah,
you know, just really,
in the
really
little pick holder in the strap. Very nice. Very good. And Naomi, you've gone for unlike the sort of the complete look of JD's or the vintage correct-ish of mine. You've gone just all out bling. I think when you visited specialpaints.com, you just found whatever the most over-the-top thing was, right?
I mean, to start, I quite confidently pitched a three-tone sparkle sunburst, which, I still stand by. I mean, that was sort of the vision, I suppose, for this mod, which partially I liked it because it is the antithesis to the super rustic, lack thereof of finish on my initial totally raw stained wood on the first Bronco mod. But sparkle was entirely on my mind for this, and also it happened to fit with being quite different to the approaches that both JD and yourself, Joe, were taking. So taking on the sort of warmth of a three-tone sunburst idea, I settled eventually on copper, like a rich, warm copper sparkle. So quite a big flake, enough that you can kind of see each individual flake, which suited me down to the ground for this. I think like I'm a huge fan of all things sort of disco, back as far as Motown, and that sort of 60s into 70s aesthetic was very much on my mind generally with this mod. So to accompany that, I went for a warm cream, sort of ivory cream, three-ply guard, and then
In Perloid,
yeah, of course. Sorry, not just ivory cream. Yeah. There is nothing plain about this base, to be clear. So the Perloid guard, I'm aware and happy with it being quite extra in addition to the sparkle.
It's tasteful coupled with the sparkle. It's reserved in comparison to the finish.
It's like a nice transition between the body to the scratch plate to the neck.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Where you kind of be like, okay, so this is like the warm bit. You know,
yeah,
like it's
yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is the middle of the Goldilocks or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I toyed with the idea of doing like a 3-ply black. And then I thought that actually that would be very much kind of my, I suppose, character or personality to do that, because I'm always quite a fan of, I don't know, adding sort of darker tones to things. But I thought for this project, for the purposes of wanting an all-over retro sort of disco Motown, obviously aware that they're very separate things, but generally retro-inspired bass, the Perloid Sparkle combo was the one for me. I finally coupled that with genuine vintage amp knobs, which were salvaged from an amp and then further salvaged by a tech that I use off a Tele Deluxe. So they've made their way and joined my Bronco on its journey.
They're great. The knobs are a great choice. They're different sizes as well.
So they're odd sizes, yeah. So again, that completely suited me, that they're that they just sort of add a bit more character, I suppose, by being odd. They're that sort of like oven style, oven style black, and I suppose once was quite shiny silver and is pleasantly worn down. So that was the final bit of character for my Bronco.
The copper flake for me is a great touch, because it's something as ridiculous as flake.
Yeah.
Coupled with a pretty reasonable colour. Like, yeah, and that's what makes it work.
I will say, like, it's the best flake job I've ever seen. I meant in paint. I don't know that that's a thing. I'm not Urban Dictionarying that to find out. But like, it is, because I remember like looking at it earlier, just like under some of the lights here, and just being like, this is like stunningly bright. And I can only imagine it under like actually bright, proper
lights.
But
lights,
it has such depth to it. Like, it's a really, really good color. And it is, like Joe, I think you're saying, like, it's, the copper is like really warm, you know? So it's not this like ridiculousness, really, but it totally is at the same time.
You've managed to rein in ridiculousness without really reining it in. I don't know how to put it, but it's great. Yeah. It's at once completely like, I would never think of putting... Oh, it's so tasteless, so vulgar. Like, a metal flake is, for me, the worst finishes are flake finishes. I hate them, but this I really like. It's actually tasteful. I can get behind this.
It's basically Margate in a paint finish.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you said it was really good and has loads of depth, because it was £55 for a tin, in comparison to the £15 that, it cost. But it was a great choice, and I think well with the Perloid, with specifically going for that cream Perloid as well, I think.
Yeah, it's a really, really good color combo. Like, I think it's such a stunning bass.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you guys like it. Sparkle finishes are not something I've seen as many times as I like through Fender and Squire's catalog. I mean, one of my favorite signature basses of all time, of course, is the, I don't know the actual name for the color, but the Lilac Sparkle Adam Clayton signature.
Oh,
P and jazz basses that he did. They're like a Lilac Sparkle with abalone inlays. Mm. And again, a Perloid, like, 4-ply guard.
Abalone.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I know the sound you just made, Joe.
Is the sound an abalone makes as a start?
The last thing an abalone says. Yeah. God rest him.
Don't put me in a fake acoustic.
I want to be on a Taylor.
Anyway, back to defending it as an inlay. sorry to all abalones out there, genuinely. In Fender's catalog, that's an example of a production model that kind of was super out there. Of course, the reverse body supersonic as well. The Mikey Way Mustang Jag bass. So good.
The silver large.
I'm still looking for one of those.
I don't know why I didn't buy them. They were in short scale basses when they were in production.
They were so cheap as well. Do you remember? Literally, the RRPs on them were super low. They weren't far off Broncos.
It's just such an this is a slight tangent, but like the basses especially in guitars that you sign, that are like the signature models that are just weird, like the Matt Freeman that we always talk about being such an amazing bass. And it's like, why didn't I buy the Matt Freeman?
Why don't I? That's what I want. Oh, I have no idea why I didn't. But like at the moment, we were talking about before we started this podcast how I'm looking around for like a black 50s style P bass with a maple neck. And that's just, that's what the Matt Freeman.
The Matt Freeman is one that I constantly think about. It's like, why didn't I just pick it up? And it wasn't a thing I was into at the time, you know. And it was just it just sort of passed me by, and it was like, it's like, it's again one of those things. It's just like this magical little like thing that just like completely knocks it out of the park, and you're in a weird time. The time doesn't make sense that you bought it.
Indeed. Yeah.
Also, I don't want to do this, but I do want to call out the Adam Clayton, like the Warwick signature that he did.
Oh,
this is such a ridiculous.
That was not a part of the conversation.
He's got quite a few Warwick signatures.
I meant the one that's like a jazz bass, but is still in like the streamer body.
Oh no,
but
it has the like P-bass.
A scratch plate.
Yeah, it's a P bass. Oh, his streamer body is white with a black plate, maple neck, black block inlays, and a people. I know this because I think about buying it most weeks.
Yeah. it's like, oh, I'm thinking about like the gold one with like the, where you just be like, this, it looks like a melted P bass.
Right.
Like a P bass that has been like droopied all over. Everything.
He's got some sort of explorer now as well. I don't know, something like that. It's bad.
Adam Clayton has got a massive repertoire specifically of signature basses.
For a bass player that literally no one cares about, he does have a lot of
signatures. Genuinely a good bassist who's gotten a little bit of maybe the Jason Newsted treatment. Like, when you actually care to go in and pick out his lines, you know, there's some awesome stuff there. But I'm very struck by his reputation, you know, kind of maybe beyond bassist, you know, as not being massively remarkable versus a huge amount of signature instruments. Is it Sherwood Green as well?
That's the current one. The current Fender Jazz, the current Adam Clayton that is still in the Fender catalogue, the only one. And bear in mind,
and they're beautiful
Fender
as well.
They've cut down their signature models massively over the last
few
years.
I feel like we should say Adam Clayton owns is a bass player for U2.
Of course,
no one else will know who that is.
Also, they own Fender, a big part of it, which is why he has signature models with Fender. But he's the current signature model that he has is Sherwood Green. I think it's Abalone Block.
I think so too. I think it's a magic headstock, if I remember correctly.
I think
it's really nice in terms of appointments. Again, all respect to Abalone's the world over. genuinely. Have we not replaced abalone?
I don't know. I mean, look,
in manufacturing,
people
by
still
now
market hide glue as being a good thing. Let's not get into it. Yeah.
We'll get into fine.
We'll get into leather tips on straps as well.
Back to Bronkov.
What up?
Are you
a big man for having leather tips? It doesn't matter. Anyway, okay.
Lambskin.
Oh God, you're so small and weak. I hate you. Anyway,
take that, Tommy Robinsons.
We should talk about necks, what we've done to them in strings as well. This is actually kind of, we're right at the end of the Broncos. We've done everything else. We've done sort of pickups, finishes, electronics, all those things. Necks. So I'll talk about, you know, my sort of disaster first. I had planned, obviously, I appreciate, dear listener, we've spoken about the fact that this has been going on for a year now. I've had all this time. But I did have my my neck booked in to be refinished. I still am having it vintage lacquered, and I'm having the headstock decal. I'm going for Squire Jazzmaster, and I'm having the proper little
is that because Jazzmaster is your middle name?
Flourishes, yeah, the Jazzmaster is my middle name, but I'm having that just to match that Jazzmaster pickup in the middle. I'm having lovely, sort of lovely, deep vintage tint, you know, nice, sort of orangey. Yeah. It's going to be great. But when I took it, when I took the guitar into my tech, I took it with a couple of other bits that I needed tech at the time, and I gave him the Bronco to do the neck. And I was like, yeah, these bits I need done, you know, next week if that's cool. The Bronco, and this was maybe 3 weeks ago, I think I took it in and I was like, the Bronco, I don't need it immediately, so take your time. Because, of course, for me, three weeks was take your time. That's, I don't need it tomorrow. But it, and this is not my text. My text's fantastic. He, you know, in his mind, because when I came back to him at the start of this week and I was like, hey, can I pick up the neck for the Bronco? And he was like, oh, I have not started that and I won't be able to. And, you know, we talked about it. It's not at all his fault. It was that in his world, not needing it for a while means 6 months.
Yeah.
Because that's how long his waiting list is of stuff. You know?
And that's a bit of the world we're in now. Yeah, it's like, you know, like as we talked about with hardware and everything, we're just like, it's...
Exactly. So he's certainly he's going to do it, but like I couldn't get it done before we all met up today. So my neck is currently in its unfinished normal state. I've obviously got those hip shot tuners on it, but it's just the neck as it came. It is going to be vintage tinted, and that's going to be my vibe for it to kind of complete the vintage aesthetic that I've gone for on this. And of course, I've gone for flat rounds, which we've all said, again, I made a mistake on the flat ones. I picked up a set of flats that like... With all flat wounds, you know, because they last forever. When I take flats off, I put them in my, I just wrap them up, put them in my box of strings to use again. So I grabbed what I thought were short scale flats to put on this Bronco. They're clearly not. And my tech has somehow managed to get 34 inch scale flats onto a 30 inch scale bass, which it's taken some real doing.
I would advise not taking those off anytime soon.
I know. I don't know how he's done it. But we all agreed, we've no idea what the brand is of those. We think maybe Rotosound. The Rotosound Jazz Bass flats. But we're not sure, because I thought I was picking up my Labellas. They're definitely not Labellas.
Yeah.
Because they don't feel nearly as smooth or as high quality as the Labellas. But actually, I think we've all agreed, they're great.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, a really good, like, articulate. Nice. There's enough punch from them for flats, but still that's kind of that slinky, speedy feel that you get with flats.
They are a mystery set, though. They're not any of the usual suspects. They're not the same rap as Labellas, not the same as Daddario.
No, and to be honest, the only flats I buy are Daddario Chromes or Labellas, so I'm a bit... stumped. I think just, I once bought
nick them from another band.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think I did once buy Rotosound Jazz Bass. So that's the only thing I can think that they are. But yeah, surprisingly good. JD, you put a bit more effort into the neck again. You seem to have put a lot more effort in than us. You know, we just went the bling things.
Yeah.
So I mean, for my neck, I mean, primarily what I did, I sanded it down quite a bit, and then like everything on the neck, and then I put the Monty's Guitars Monty Espresso guitar wax on it to give it a bit of color and everything, and really for that was just that, like, the my neck especially was like the absolute bright white wood that you get on usually quite budget instruments, you know, and so I was just like, I'm just gonna knock this down a bit, and kind of wanted to do that. And then what I ended up doing was like full fret dressings, because I was like, I'm quite good at fret dressing, you know. It's like, there's no reason that this, and I got a kick out of making, you know, $100 bass, you know, really play like a £1,000 bass. And so I did that, didn't really take that long. It was a really good job to begin with. And then I did really sand it down. So I think I probably went to about 3,000 or so on the neck.
Right, wow.
And it's like the neck feels, the back of the neck feels like it's lacquered, but there's nothing on it besides Monty's.
It feels like the American Pro or American Standard Fenders. That is that sort of feel, where it's like there's no tint to it, but it's definitely got that glossy feel.
Yeah, it's like... I wish I would have had, like, before that, because the Monty's really tamed it down, like, in a way. And, like, I can tell the difference, but it's like, because if I were to take the neck off and see, like, the rest of it, you'd be like, oh, that is, or, like, the inside of the body of the neck heel as well. It's just that, and it's just, like, really, you know, just, like, really sanding it down, because I didn't want to coat it. Anything. And then the other thing I did is I got just to go with the black tuners and the gold foil pickup, I was like, I'm going to get a gold Squire logo, because I wanted to have the Squire logo on it, because it is a Squire bass. And the other thing I did is I put it in a different location, so it's not in like the
sort of
it's shoved up towards like the what on the Rickenbacker would be the cresting wave, but like the little, you know, blobular end at the fender headstock. And like, yeah. I put it there, and like, there's like, when I was placing it, I was going to put it in the normal spot that you would see the Squire logo. And then I started moving it, and I was like, this just feels like something that would happen in the 90s. Like something that would, that would really make sense with the Bronco, where it's like, it's just weird and for no reason, yeah, you know? And then it just really suited it there, I thought. And I was like, yeah, I want this. I want this here. Yeah.
It's weird how much it actually suits it. And you've nailed it in the description of something from the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like something where someone's like, I'm just going to do something different. Yeah. Just to do it. Yeah.
Aerodyne.
It's very aerodyne. Like if you just saw the headstock, you would probably think it's either an aerodyne or it's one of those Stuart Ham signatures. Yeah. Like yes. an urge.
Yeah.
No, it's funny how using the exact same logo, just recoloring it and repositioning, can give it an entirely different vibe.
It's a
really good subtle change. And again, I think your treatment of the neck once again totally transformed it from super budget to high end instrument. I've not done anything to my neck. Left it as is. I think it'll be the only part of this Bronco that's ongoing for me. I'm still undecided on block inlays. I did think, for the purpose of,
you're going to get some stickers.
I was hesitant of it as an idea.
What would you get? Perloid ones?
Yeah.
Fake abalone?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Fabalone.
Fabalone. I'd get the ones that have like the note names.
Oh, yeah. Well,
no, fret numbers.
I saw an awesome, in my super general, like beyond Instagram, Google image search recently.
Very thorough.
Of Bronco mods. Someone did like almost like a Sesame Street like preschool version Bronco mod.
Wow.
So they got Dior, what are they called? But the Dior super bright multicolor set of strings.
As a theme
makeover, it works awesome. So in like preschool lettering, like super big, they've got the fret numbers on there. So 12, 12, 9, 7, 5, 3.
So those multicolored DR strings.
Yes.
Do you know how they like came about? Like what the point of like each string having a different color was? Because I know this kind of, only.
Oh, this is, like, I thought people trivia. Had to buy four different sets.
No, they are a set.
Oh,
no.
Right.
Yeah. So what it was kind of around, and this is because like they have a lot of like friends at DR and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And so where they came about is they and a couple other like MI like instrument companies were working with someone who's developing a game. I can't remember the name of the game. It didn't really work that well, but it was like the same as like Guitar Hero, but they were trying to do Guitar Hero, but to try to teach people to play actual guitar. Ooh. And so what they did was like the individual colored strings would matched up with the game so that you would play along with, I think it was like Rock. It was named something like that. But it was like, that was the initial, why they initially went with those colored strings.
Interesting.
And then everything else just kind of blew up. And then I think
so they just went into production.
Tripled down on that in ways that I'd be like, maybe don't, but you know, hey, it's not for me. People love them, I suppose. I'm still
a huge fan of them. Poor as coded strings.
The world over have those. The ultimate. Yeah, it's Naomi with yours. You've gone for round wounds.
I have gone for round wounds again. That is not a Bronkoff choice, but a personal choice, only because I've had flats on my first Bronco mod the entire time. So I think it might still be the same set of chromes that I stuck on there, intending to swap to Labellas at a later date. But the chromes on the Bronco have been a lovely match. So in this case, again, I actually stuck with Daidario. Availability obviously is a smaller market for short scale sets, and I wanted something just dead solid, and a nice kind of starting gauge. So I've gone for EXL, I think 160S, which is the 40 to 105 set. So straight down the line, nothing mega unusual, nothing fancy, other than it literally being a short scale set. And I'm happy that I have a flat Bronco good to go and a round wound Bronco good to go. It's a pretty functional choice in strings for me.
Whereas JD, you've gone for flats as well.
Round ones. Yeah,
they're round ones.
Yeah, the roto sound, and it was because I don't really have a lot of short scales.
Right.
I was like, let me go with something I don't often use because it's a great problem to have, but I don't really have to buy strings that often because I still have about 40 sets of strings upstairs, and so I'm just like, oh, I want to buy something new, but it's like completely wasted for me to do it. It's just so I was like, oh, short scale. I went with Roto Sound because I also wanted a British string manufacturer. And,
sure.
Yeah, and yeah, it's fine. I after playing yours, I really sort of wish I would have gone flats, and certainly we need to figure out what set that is, because it's whatever this mystery mythical set of strings is, it's such a good set.
I might buy another set of Roto Sounds to see if they're the same colors on the ends to work it out. But
we need the bass string equivalent of reverse Google image searching.
Go to a shop and be like, oh, these were open. and I was like, oh, actually, I'll just return them. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that is, I think we've covered everything now. We've covered everyone's Bronco. So sort of the complete Soviet era style functional Guyatone Mojo pickup loaded Bronco of JD. We've gone for the absolute bling 70s Motown inspired
extra
perloid and large flake sparkle Dyna P90 Mojo pickup loaded Bronco of Naomi, and I've gone for the vintage correct ish Music Master in Burgundy Mist, which is really sort of lavender, with a lovely tall Music Master style guard and the Mojo Jazz Master oversized pickup. It's very good. So there it is. That is the Bronco. Who won? You decide, dear listener. Let us know however you like. You can visit us on our Facebook group, the Guitar Nerds group. That's always good for a discussion. Instagram, Patreon, email us at info@guitarnerds.net if you like. Have you modded one yourself? Show us your mods. Post those pictures. And what would you have done differently? What did you like? What don't you like about our mods? Don't just tell us who won. Tell us what you thought was rubbish as well. And of course, don't forget to, make sure you vote. I'll pop a poll up in the Facebook and the Patreon. So there'll be two separate places to vote. So check that out. Check out our videos and our photos of the bases and see for yourself. Thanks once again to our sponsors. Thanks to Music Nomad for the fantastic tools. And brilliant guides on their KISS, their Keep It Simple Setup guides. They're very good and very useful for teching these to a professional standard. Thanks to Mojo Pickups for being such incredible sports and making us three pickups so quickly when we then ended up sitting on this series for an entire year. And thank you to BTM Music for providing the hardware for our newly modded Broncos. The regular podcast will be back next week, and we'll be back then for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Good Bronk.